going to announce now, whereas in the Old Testament class when you had word studies, they were pretty much right there in the lessons. These will not be. You will have word studies, and many of you don't have tools. That's fine. I'm having them pass around a clipboard. Just put your name on it, and I will send you the word studies completed. You still have to work because you have to read it. And we'll look at it, because you have some for today, and we'll look at it when we get to that part, and you'll see, we'll talk together on what are you looking for when you have a word study. And then how do you use it? Because there's a reason for it. It's not just looking up a word and knowing what it means, but we always learn to take it back into the text and see how, as I use it, if that clarifies or enlarges the picture of what is there in the text. Sometimes our English words are not great translatable words, but we will look and see what it says. And you have three pages, and I'll tell you when to look at the, or three sets of pages, not three pages, and I'll tell you when to look at what you have, because we're going to talk about it, and then most of it you won't read. You'll just take it home and read it and learn. But what we're doing, because we're doing spiritual gifts, and those of you who came to my class, which I think were about four of you, so the rest of you don't know this, but what you do with a topical study versus a book study is you're going to look for the places that the word you're looking for, or word you're looking for, in this case it's spiritual gifts, where they are in the Bible, and then you go to those places. For spiritual gifts, you have four places in the New Testament where they're talked about, and we'll look at all four of those in the next, what is it, eight? I think it's 8 weeks. 12 weeks? What does it say?
12 lessons.
12 lessons. We'll go to those four sections, and then we'll glean out of those sections what we need to learn about the gifts. But when you do that, you need to know, on a lighter version, and that's why I have the same thing here that I have here, you will look, when you do a big book, like, well, let's just say a smaller book, like Ephesians, you go through the whole book of Ephesians and see what words are repeated through the whole book. But when you do what we're going to be doing from here on out, you're doing a chapter study. So the words that you're looking for is in that chapter, what are the repeated words, the key words in that chapter, which may be different than those. Sometimes, and we'll see this, in chapter 12, 13, and 14, we have the information about the gifts. They aren't anywhere else in the book. So that would be considered a chapter, like a chapter study. Any questions to that so far?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
There were only a few of these. It's only a few people needed them. There are people who don't have how to study topical.
If you didn't get your email.
Right.
The rest of you should have that on your email, and I send it out Monday. From now on, you get to look every single week on Tuesday to make sure you got an email I sent out. So what she's handed out is studying topically by subject. That's this one. And the reason for that is that we'll give you more information on how to do a topical study. All of this comes out of this book, which is what I have suggested before for you guys to get. You don't have to get it now. Yeah.
Is that the same as hers?
Yeah, they just have different covers.
And these all are in that?
Yes, and a lot more. And I look, honestly, I find these in used bookstores all the time for a lot less. So there is one over there. Somebody wants it, they can get it. You don't need it. You have it in... No, you don't have it. You have it in Korean. Yeah. We got it in Korean for her. Can you believe that? But what it'll do is shows you the whole process of inductive study. There's a lot more than I've ever even talked to you guys about, because I know what you're what you know so far, and we might as well, I'd rather repeat and repeat so that you're comfortable with something before we go on to something else. And that's why generally when I introduce something new, I do it on the weekends for those who want to come. I don't need you to know everything. I don't know everything. So
what?
Yes, you do.
Oh, now I do. It just happened.
Sorry, I have one more housekeeping thing. If I can pass this list, it's an older list. If your name's not on it, add it to the back, please, with your information. If your name is on it, make sure it's correct.
And
what
for
is
those,
that for?
It's just to make
contact
sure everybody
information.
Has addresses and stuff for
so
everybody in the class.
So
and
like
if I need to contact people, like I said, what I...
Yeah. Right. So we'll just pass it around if everybody can check.
They're all on it.
In fact, if it's okay, if you could just put a check mark by your name, then I'll know you've seen it.
Oh, that's a good way to do it, so that you saw it.
Has everybody seen this?
This is the one for word studies. Has everybody gotten a chance to see this?
Do you have any logos at home?
Yes.
So you're having me do your work. I'm kidding.
She's going to have a new baby.
Honey, I love this girl well, and I can tease her, and she can tease me day and night. She knows I know that. And in fact, I usually say with women who have little ones, you know, just do. If you can just do one day and that's all you can do during the week, then that's enough.
It's about those of us that
I'm considered old people. Just remember that. Today, this year I turned 69, so.
Oh, what a child.
Wouldn't that be nice? Okay. So information that you would want to understand, which is in that book, would be on your studying topically by subject. And for those of you who have emails, I send it home to you. You just may not have seen it yet. That's why you didn't get it. Any questions on that? Let me look at it and see if there's anything I want you to... Looking up every parallel and relative passage, which is what I just said, and then it shows you what you would do to assemble the information. But you won't do that with this because you're not doing this study separate. Like, I'll give you, let's say, give me some topic that you've been curious about in your life.
The mystery.
Okay. Well, that's what I've been studying on. Okay. Let's say we read and we read that word in many, many different books, the mystery, and find out it's a lot more than one the mystery. But anyway, but you don't know what you don't know. So what would be your first step to find out about the mystery?
See where it's listed in the Bible.
And how do you do that?
Do a topical thing. Go to your computer.
Woo,
there it is.
Everybody has them.
A concordance in your Bible?
Thank you very much. Well, it can be in your Bible, but your concordances in your Bible tend to be limited to the most prominent passages.
Strong's Concordance.
You would do a Strong's Concordance. There's also, for those of you who have NASB, the new... I know these letters...
The inductive study Bible.
Just the New American Standard.
Oh, didn't
very much.
Yeah.
It has a concordance too, but if you use NIV, it does not have a concordance, and many of them don't. If they are word for word translations, or they more than likely might have a concordance. If they're thought-for-thought translations, they won't. And that should be logical as we talk about it. Yeah, go ahead.
And we do in our library, in the reference section, which is marked and is over sitting on that wall, we do have some really nice concordances that you're welcome to use while you're here, but not take home.
They're reference books. So
right.
You don't take them out of the library.
Right.
And we need to do that because we only have room for one of each thing.
Right.
We will also have, as I talk about word studies more, there are word study books there, including Vines and Dr. Zodiatis. And I've given my Robertson and... the other one there, which are sets, and one of these days, when you're ready for it, we'll do a class on just how you do word studies in that sense, and we'll use some of those books. Yeah.
Did anybody need that? That's a precept book, really, How to Study Your Bible. Does anybody need that? Because I'm going to need to place an order for two more of these books.
Okay.
I can order that at the same time.
Yeah, how much are they?
Well, I got them from CBD for a lot less. But
Amazon often has used books for sale.
And I do look for used books. Amazon does, and if you have Prime, you can get it for no extra postage. If not, talk to me, because I do.
Okay.
Well, people may not. I tend to buy a lot of books, so it's better for me to buy them as cheap as I can. So talk to her if you would like a book. And like I said, there's one back there that you could have.
From the library, too, just to read them.
Which book?
The How to Study Your Bible.
You can, but you're not going to be able to take it home. And honestly, it's not a one read. It's like having a Bible on how to study the Bible.
I've got a copy over and over.
I mean, I still will go over some of the things just to make sure I've got it in my head.
They're at $8.60.
So,
shall we just
that.
Say? So, you want one?
Yeah.
You want me to order one, Aunt Connie?
There's one here, Connie could have.
There's one there. I'll just give you it for $10, but I'm only saying that because you know that I paid more. I don't remember how much.
I thought it was $8.
Was it originally $8? Okay, I owe you $2. I didn't know. That's why I asked. Does anybody remember how much I charge for these things? Okay.
I'm thinking of this.
I was just saying that because I'm going to need to make a precept order this week, and that's why.
Well, then let her know. Do you know how to use... You use Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we can still order them on Amazon. Do you have Prime?
No.
No, I do. Okay, so just give her the order, and she and I will work that out.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Joanne, I can find my phone.
Okay.
Me too.
Bonnie?
Anything else? Okay. The reason that is a good book is you will use it forever, and you're learning how the process of study. When I first started doing inductive study, even though I was a Bible major at Biola, I still needed a lot of help on how to study. They really didn't teach you how to study the Bible there, even though I was a Bible major. So taking that book, I just would go over and over until I understood it. And I'm a slow learner. You may not believe that, but I really am a slow learner. I'm dyslexic, and everything has to me. I have to go into it from an odd direction. Pastor Ken and I can study exactly the same thing, and he can be done in 2 hours, and 40 hours later, I'm still working on it. So it's the way God made us, and it's okay because I don't forget those things. So because I have to work so hard to get them. But don't feel like you're competing with anyone else. You're not. You're learning. And we're here to learn God's word and not do it perfectly. Don't ever be afraid to say something even if you're not sure that it's right, because that's how we correct ourselves. That's how we learn. And I would be very sad if you didn't because you thought you had to be perfect. Mama Crandall is not a whack you over the hands person. So hopefully we're all in this together and we're all helping one another. And like I said, I am dyslexic. I've had to learn to study. My mother used to read about 9 books at a time, and she had straight A's for school, and I labored for solid C's. Because it would take me that long to actually understand what I was trying to study. Don't let that deter you. Okay. So pull out you got your first lesson, right? Did you still have that one or did you pass it out?
I'm sorry.
I have. It's okay.
Okay.
Okay. So let's read the first part of the first lesson. in the 1970s saw an influx of books into Christian markets dealing with the subject of spiritual gifts. It was a subject about which the body of Christ knew relatively little at the time. Its teaching had been, for the most part, neglected. Of all the gifts, the one that was prominently taught before the 1970s was the gift of tongues. At that time, there was great confusion and controversy within the body of Christ over this gift. We can be grateful to the Lord for many men who have taken the time to provide Christian literature for the body of Jesus Christ on this neglected subject of spiritual gifts. Yet with all the literature available, how many of us can speak with confidence and authority on the subject of the gifts of the Spirit? As you read different books on the subject, you will find varied teaching on these gifts. These variations with regard to the gifts include their number, their operation within the body of Christ, and even their definition. If we read any two of these books, and they are varied in their teaching on the gifts, how would we know which interpretation was correct? Oh, beloved, we will never be sure of what is true until we know truth. That's why you're here studying for ourselves. His word is truth. Jesus' prayer was, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. Our approach to this subject of spiritual gifts will be to search out what the word of God has to say on this subject. Then we will compare what we have seen with the insights of other men of God. Having searched out truth for ourselves, we will be better qualified to evaluate that which we have read or heard from others, and above all, we will be able to walk in the light of what we have received from the Spirit of God through the truth of the Word of God. So let us begin with the Word. The New Testament book which contains the most information on the gifts is 1 Corinthians. It is vital that we see Paul's thoughts on spiritual gifts in context. What moved Paul to devote so much of the letter to the subject of spiritual gifts? Why, in the middle of this discourse on spiritual gifts, does Paul give that immortal definition of love? And that's what chapter?
13.
So we're going to do 12, 13, and 14. These are questions we must answer if we are to ever understand the true nature of these gifts and their importance to the body of Christ, Jesus Christ. Observation is the key. Right there. It's the key that unlocks the door to correct interpretation of Scripture. Be diligent this week as you lay a strong foundation through observation of these passages on spiritual gifts. It will make all the difference in a biblical understanding of the gifts. For this is where some teachers take entirely different tracks on spiritual gifts. And for those of you who've been in this class for a while, you're used to me going through this, but we're going to go through it anyway because we also have new people. Or you're still in the process of learning, too. Inductive study is basically studying what God's Word says. And when you approach a New Testament epistle, you are trying to get the overview of that book. What the overview means is he had some reason for writing this book. And you find it in many books. Somebody want to look up John 20:31 and 32 and read that, and somebody else want to look up Revelation 1:18 and 19, and you can see sometimes it just out and out says this is why the book is written. Other times you have to look at it through and figure it out through the keywords, and I haven't taught you how to do that, so don't worry about it. But somebody want to read John 20:31-32? Yeah.
What was that in Revelation 1:18 and 19?
I'm saying that because I don't remember what it is. 18.
John is 30 and 31.
Okay, you want to read it?
Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name.
Okay, so with the book of John, why was the book of John written?
So that people might believe.
That we might believe in what?
Jesus Christ.
And what are we believing about Jesus Christ?
That he is the Son of God.
And that's what the book teaches us, doesn't it? So it's setting out the foundational fact of he wants you to learn about Jesus Christ. What is the, okay, if I believe, what is the end of my belief?
Have life in his name.
Have life in his name for how long?
Forever.
forever. So the book of John is written that we might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in knowing that and believing, we will have life eternal in him. And so we go through the book always remembering that, because the reason there are things in that book is for us to take us to a working, understanding, believing knowledge of him. Okay, Revelation 1. Why is Revelation written?
I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later.
So, what's in this book? What is he writing down? What was?
What will take place?
What was seen? What is? And what will take place? That's what the book of Revelation is about. We make it about so many other things. The book is telling us what was, what is, and what will be. And if we have that perspective when we enter something, we can say, I don't really know. Is this talking about now? Is this already happened? Is this going to happen? If it's going to happen, how do I prepare myself for this? Is there something I'm supposed to do? What does it say? And many books, 2 Peter tells you why it was written. You can just go through them and start seeing, but there are also other ways of finding out. Once you find out why the book is written, you look through that grid. It's like putting on your glasses, and you're looking through the grid of this is what it's about, and then you start finding things. Let me give you an example. We just did John. Does anybody remember what John 15 is about? But keep going. What would be the key word in that chapter, Grace? John 15.
Chapter 15.
No, it's not the way that you're going.
No, but it is talking about the true vine and the works and words to testify.
And what are you supposed to do with the true vine?
Remain.
You abide in it. And you can take the word abide from chapter 15, go through the whole book of John, and find every place that has the word abide, and it leads you to chapter 15, and it basically teaches you, you cannot lose your salvation. And if you don't have that, there are so many places you could look and pull a verse out of context and say, well, this says this. Yeah, but do you understand the context of what that sentence was written in? And if you don't, because what was John 15 written in? What was the purpose of the book of John?
So that you might believe in Jesus Christ and have life.
And how long do you have life?
Eternal.
So you go back from there, and one of these days I'll do one of those things with you, but not until you're ready for it, where you just take a whole book and you go through and understand how God develops in one book the teaching. Because we've been battling about that one forever and a day. But if you just take the word abide and go through the book of John, you've got your answer all by yourself. Nobody has to tell you. Okay, so we, as we read, now this is the whole book, and we're not going to do that. As you read the whole book, you start to mark key words and phrases. What makes a word a key word or a phrase a key phrase?
Repetition.
That's why it says repeated. Oh, I didn't write that. Repeated phrase, repeated words. So if it's there several times, you can pretty much tell. Now, what is the difference? Is there a difference between a keyword in the whole book versus a keyword in a chapter or section?
The keyword in the chapter is prominent to that chapter and may not be found anywhere else in that.
May not be found anywhere else, or in this case, we'll find it in those three chapters. But it actually does start in, and I do have my Bible, so let me look at chapter 1 of Corinthians, and we need to know the background. Oops. Of Corinthians to kind of understand how it fits. But in Corinthians, we have division. In the book of Corinthians, it's written because these people are divided and fighting. basically, and they're fighting from a place of arrogance. They're a very immature church, so he has to teach them a lot about gifts, because this is one of the things they're not only immature about, but they're using to hit each other over the head. So, and you can see in chapter 1, because it says that, basically. But I'm not sure the verse. I think it's 6, but I can't really remember.
No. 11.
Oh, there it is. It's 7. I'm going to start with 4. What does 11 say?
I have been informed concerning you, my brethren.
More that they're arguing about. They're arguing about who they're following. Mm-hmm. Verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that... That's a purpose statement. What is the purpose for all this? So that you are not lacking any gift. Now, who is you there? Who is he talking to?
Corinthians.
Is he talking to a Corinthian, or is he talking to the
church.
Corinthians?
It's the church.
So all of them. So if whenever you see that in a book, we always love to take that particular teaching through this book and say, I, my gifts, me, no, it's the body. Let's say if the body is lacking teaching, what do you have?
Teacher.
You pray for a teacher, don't you? If the body is lacking helps, what do you pray for?
Helpers.
Because what he's teaching us is it's these gifts functioning together that makes the body work. If you're missing something, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a hole. And so this is, that's what he starts with, and it goes into other things too. But so when we read the section about the gifts, it's because these people have been brash and prideful about what gifts they have, and look at what I have and what you have, what I have, you know, that kind of thing. And so this is the book that we see the most teaching about the gifts. So is the teaching about the gifts something that's mature? Taught to mature people or immature people?
Mature.
Why?
Well, they're ready for the meat of the word.
Because they need to start learning how to grow up together in Christ. And the goal of that is that we would be one in Christ. Using our gifts, that we would be one in Christ and we'd melt together. Doing what he has called us to do. Any questions? That'd be my paper again. Okay. So, what I have up here is just to kind of give you a background a little bit. 1 Corinthians 1 through 6, 7 through 16, and 12 through 14. 1 through 6, as you have on your paper on page 2, is responding to problems reported to him. So, Paul is taking that in. Chapter 6. And 7 through 16 deal with questions that the Corinthians had written to him, and there are several. And then 12 through 14 answers their questions about spiritual gifts. What do we know about love in the body of Christ according to some of the various things we've been being taught lately? What do we know about love in the body of Christ? Who do you love first? Who do you love next? Close. Almost.
What we learned from Wednesday night.
No, you learn self. Because if you have the proper estimation of yourself, you won't be arrogant. You won't be putting other people down. You will be comfortable with putting your place in the body of Christ that he's called you to. And what would you do as the outcome?
You would love others.
You would love others.
Without comparison.
Without comparison. Absolutely. Because as unique as he's made each of us, he's made us unique to be one. And you know in marriage, those of you who've been married, how hard that can be. Just think about it with the whole body. So what does the body do? Do we look at each other? It's really not going to work if we do that. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And as we fix our eyes on Jesus, he'll work through those parts as we allow him to. Okay, so So when we get to, which is what we're in chapter that we're studying, which is 12 today, we're going to mark key repeated words, words which are important, which if taken out of the chapter, leave the chapter void of meaning. So what do you think, just for the heck of it, what do you think a chapter on spiritual gifts would be taken out and void, making the chapter void?
Anything about spiritual gifts?
Anything about spiritual gifts? Or even the word? Yeah.
No.
Okay. Okay. And along with spiritual, probably who gives the gifts?
Jesus gives the gifts.
Actually, it's the Spirit that brings the gifts. Yes. So if I took the Holy Spirit out of that chapter, I'm going to lose the meaning of the chapter. So let's read it and see what we come up to. And you have that in your, you're supposed to. It should be page 11. There you go. So I want you to listen as you're listening. See if you can hear words that are repeated through the book. Yeah.
Just to explain, when Kit is looking through her papers, it's our book, some
right.
of those papers.
Well, this is the book. It's just...
Right, right.
It's just copied off. Why did I even copy? Oh, because I didn't open mine yet.
Right.
I need to go get it spiraled.
Yeah.
Right. And if once I open it and I start using it, that doesn't spiral as well.
Yeah.
So, chapter 12. Now, so listen for words that are repeated or words that you know if you listen to it, it sounds like it'll change the meaning of the text, okay? And you don't have to get every one of them. We're doing this as the body of Christ, okay? And so if I look at you, don't feel guilty, I'm not calling on you. I don't call on people, except for some people who I'm trying to irritate. And they would know it ahead of time. There you go. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, now, just look at that word there. It's italicized. Why is a word italicized?
It was put there.
Why would it, if the book, this chapter is on spiritual gifts, why would it be put there?
Regarding translation, isn't it? That sometimes a word cannot be translated.
And sometimes it's given, since this is a... If you'll look down on verse 4, it says, now there are a variety of gifts but the same Spirit. And so what kind of gifts is it talking about? Spiritual gifts. So when I say spiritual, and if I was Greek, you would know... In this chapter, I'm talking about spiritual gifts. But us Anglos need a little extra help, so the word is put in there, but it is appropriate. And you can look at it and say, well, I don't know that they should put that in there. Well, look at the rest of that chapter and see if it's used that way in the rest of the chapter. It is. It's talking about spirituals. And you'll look up the word. That's one of the words we look up. And you'll see why gifts can be added to that. Okay? Now, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of, just so far, what have you seen kind of repeated and what might be important?
Spirit.
Spirit. We see that how many times just in that verse?
Twice in that verse.
And it tell, what do we learn about this Spirit there? In verse 3.
No one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit.
So it's the Holy Spirit that...
Enlightens.
And it's also, what else do we learn? No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Where does the Spirit come from? It comes from God. So when I tell you... to do listing, that's what it's looking for. Once you go through the whole chapter and you're going to mark things, and if you'll look on the back of your books, there are suggestions for those of you who are not comfortable with knowing how to come up with markings. It's on the back of your book. We can copy one for you before you go. What is your name, by the way?
Me? Connie.
Hi, Connie.
Thank you.
We will
have to copy when I got in there.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Grace.
And you'll get yours.
I'm going to order a book, yeah.
Yeah. So not only do you go through and mark, and you don't do this until you're all done with the whole chapter, as far as you can go, you will find words you miss totally because you just didn't look at them. I'll give you an example of that in a minute. But you're going to mark the words the first time, or second time you go through, you're going to start marking words. But then you go back to where you marked them, like everything that says Holy Spirit, you're going to go back and you're going to list that out on a list about the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit come from so far?
God.
It comes from God. And what does the Holy Spirit do? And he gives you the words. He gives you the... So what that means, I don't really know. I have never tested it out on a totally godless person, asked them to say Jesus is Lord. But he isn't talking about the words themselves. What is he talking about? Do you believe this? Is this something that you can say Jesus is Lord? There are a lot of people who say they're Christians. But is he the Lord of their lives? Okay, so four. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. What did you learn about the Spirit there?
It's the same.
Same Spirit. In all of these gifts, there's not a Spirit for helps, there's not a Spirit for teaching, there's not a different Spirit, there's one Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What is the point? What does the Spirit do there?
Manifest for the common good.
And what do we learn the problem is in chapter 1?
They're arguing who to follow,
and they're divided. And so the Spirit's goal is what?
Uniting.
United the common good. What we do for the common good for one another. We don't get prideful about who baptized us or anything else. For one, verse 8, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another, the effecting of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the distinguishing of spirits. Do you know what all these things are yet? No. To another, various kinds of tongues. And what's added?
Interpretation.
Well, what's added in the various kinds of tongues? The word various, so you would want to think about why that's added. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually just as he wills. So whose will is it that gives you a gift? The Spirit's will. Do we think of the Spirit as that way? Now, what we know about Jesus, when Jesus walked the face of the earth, how did he do the things he did? By the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're beginning to see, yeah.
Okay, isn't it God's will, not... He sends a Spirit.
But what does the verse say? That's what we're talking about.
Well, it says he wills.
Okay, when you have a pronoun, which he is, how do you figure out which... God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, is it talking about?
Will you say what you just said again?
Yes. When you have a pronoun, which he is, he, she, it, they,
right.
Those are all pronouns.
Right.
They always go back to a noun.
Right.
And they always go, not always, because this is translation, but they almost always go back to the last noun that was stated. That's just grammar, basic grammar. So, what is the last noun that was stated in verse 11?
Spirit.
So it's he wills. But we know, because we study in other places, where does he get his will from? From the Father. And that's what I was trying to say about Jesus. It's the same thing with Jesus. We talk about what Jesus, when he was here on the earth, but we know, when we study Jesus, that everything he did because the Father showed him to do it. So it's the same with the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Okay, now remember you said there's no dumb questions.
I did.
Okay, we've talked, and there's one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Then what does it mean when it says distinguishing of spirits?
Put a circle around that, and we'll talk about that after we've studied it. And I don't give answers we haven't studied. If I did that, I would be lecturing. Like, you know, that's what pastors do and stuff. I'm not here for that. I'm here for you to learn. And hopefully, remember there are two parts in every Bible study. Two parts. There's the part that is sort of the skeleton of like, what holds your body up? It's your skeleton, it's your bones and your muscles and how that all works. But with Bible study, what holds our study up is we have to have a system. We have to figure out how to study. How many times have you read the Bible and you've read it over and over and you don't get it because you don't know what you're looking for, right? Sometimes, I have read whole books and got at the end and I couldn't tell you anything that came out of that. So what I'm giving you is a system so that you can go in and know the questions to ask, okay? But there's the other part, which is the text. So we are taking our system to the text and trying to learn from it. And when I give you a statement like that, it's a grammar question. It just simply means that, you know, there's those things we have to learn a little bit. Is it always true? I have found places it wasn't. And if it wasn't, it was because it was translated that way. But you can go back to the original and figure it out. And you don't have to have Greek under your belt to do that. You just need to know how to do that. Any more questions? Yes.
She asked about distinguishing spirits. Are you talking about in verse 10?
Yeah.
So what? Okay.
One of the things you don't want to do?
We're in different versions is why I'm asking.
Okay.
To see if she's on the same thing that I'm
right.
On.
So you were looking for the word and it wasn't there.
Right.
Okay. One of the things we don't want to do is look in our... commentaries now. We don't want to... Because if you do that, you cut off your ability to learn, and then it's in your head. How many times have you studied something and goes, well, that's not what the Bible says? I know because I've been taught that since I was a child. And then you go to the Bible, and it did say that. So what's the problem?
Our original teaching was wrong.
And we all come in with we have pre-beliefs.
Pre-programmed data banks in our
yes,
head.
Ma'am. Pre-programmed data banks. And a lot of times that will come from denominations we're part of. So we have to be ready to lay aside what we already think we know if the Bible doesn't say that. And, yeah, you can just talk.
Generally speaking, what version are you guys?
Oh, the New American Standard.
Okay, I'm New
and
King
it's
James,
in your
so
text.
That's why I'm getting lost
when
here.
When you get your book,
this
it'll
is
have,
yeah, it's here in yours.
Okay,
it'll you have it actually. It's in okay. The end. Let's keep going to go
page
to
11.
Page 11. Yes, thank you.
So that everybody's on the same version.
So yeah, everybody's on the same version. It isn't.
Next time.
It isn't that we think one version is correct and all the rest aren't. When you do translation work, you always want to use, and when you're studying, you always want to use a word-for-word translation, which American Standard is. King James is the same. So you can use King James, too. New King James. You can use Revised Standard Version. Those are all word-for-word translations. They may not have the same words in all the translations. What are not good study Bibles is anything that's paraphrased. They're good Bibles, they're just not good study Bibles. I grew up, as a young Christian, I read Phillips, and Phillips is a paraphrase, and you can't find words and teachings and cross-references because they've made words, three words go into 10 words, and those words aren't all there, but the teaching's there, and that's called, I just had it.
Thought by thought translation.
Yeah, but it's not. But it has another name, and it doesn't. But it is thought by thought translation. Yeah. And I think that's where. Anybody else have any other questions? My brain gets fuzzy after, you know, I had no sleep last night. I went to bed, and I merely quietly sat there. I went to bed early. Dad cannot go to bed early because
I gotta feel sleepy.
I'm not sleepy, but I'm brain fuzzy. No, I probably won't even go home and take a nap. Okay, what verse were we on? Okay, so verse 11, but one, the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That's where we were. He wills. And it goes back to the Spirit. Why do you know it goes back to the Spirit?
Because
that's the last noun. Do we know what nouns are? If you don't, just talk to me, because they're not here. You can talk to me quietly. But there are some really good books. That, in fact, one of the best ones is Abeka's Grammar to 7th Graders, 6th and 7th Graders. That's generally the age level that real grammar is finally taught at completely. And you get things like gerunds, which I had never even heard of before. And you get
participles. Yes. Of the English language.
I need to go back to school.
Yeah, well, you know, what I did when I started homeschooling my kids is that's basically, it taught me everything I had never ever had in school before. Because I didn't have that stuff. I never had grammar, ever. Which is ridiculous to get out of college and never have had grammar. Anyway, okay. Verse 12, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, all, so also is Christ. Now, there was a word in there we just got a whole bunch of. Mm-hmm. What word is that?
Body.
So we're going to have to start learning about the body. So a lot of the ways we learn about these things isn't just looking up words. It's listing what we learn out of the text about that word. What did you learn about the body in verse 12? How many bodies are there?
One, but many members.
So there's one body, but many members. And we have, sometimes you have to think about, what does that even mean? And what else? What else about body? Kind of goes back around. And all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So we're going to, this is kind of what we're going to be learning a lot of. And then it says, so also is Christ. So you're going to want to think about what that means. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So what do we learn about the Spirit there?
All made.
Liquid.
We're all baptized into one body.
By?
One spirit
who baptizes all. So is there anybody in this room who was baptized by another spirit? Better not be.
Probably not.
And in case we don't get the analogy here, he's talking about them saying, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am blah, 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 blah. Because what baptism are they talking about?
Water.
They're talking about water. But God is talking, and Paul here, is talking about what makes us the body of Christ is who?
The Spirit.
So it doesn't matter who baptizes you in water. And all of us, probably in this room, were all baptized by water. Different places in the country, different churches, different pastors, different whatever. And we were all made to do what?
We're made to drink of the Spirit.
Who is we all, according to that verse? We all.
Jews or Greeks, slaves or free.
The southern term.
Yeah. All y'all. All we all.
Oh, Charlie.
But who is the we all?
Jews or Greeks, slaves
or
free.
Slaves or free. Everybody. So is anybody any more important?
No.
If you read the rest of the book, you find out they think it is. But we find out here, it's not. Verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body. How?
Just as he desires.
So who's it not up to?
Us.
Ha ha! So let go of it. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the foot, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the member of the body which seems to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body. Who composed the body?
God.
Who gave us the gifts?
God's Spirit.
We're beginning to see pictures of how this goes together. Giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks. So that, what is a so that?
Purpose.
It's a purpose cause. So that, it means all of this stuff. But God so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. Why? You could say it that way. Why? Because there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. We'll get most of that, not all of it, again in Ephesians, verse 28. All are not apostles, are they? The answer is?
No.
And all are not prophets, are they?
No.
And the answer is?
No.
And all are not teachers, are they?
No.
And all are not workers of miracles, are they?
No.
But who takes credit for all of this?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit and God in the body. That's why it's the body that accomplishes together what God wants. It isn't that one person. That one person may be carrying a gift, but it's because the Holy Spirit has picked them for the purpose of edifying and building the body. All, verse 29, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, all are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Who is to earnestly desire the greater gifts?
All of us.
The body of Christ. If, again, you don't have a gift in that in your body, in our body, we pray for it. It isn't you pray for it, for you. It's that it's prayed for the church. And I'll show you a more excellent way. And that is the end of that chapter. Okay, so back to where we are. Look on page 2, bottom part, day 2. Now read 1 Corinthians 12 again, noting any new insights. When you observe Scripture, you should always ask the 5 W's and an H. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. The answers to these questions will give you the basis for understanding 1 Corinthians. And as we study, we're in what part of our study? We're in chapter study. Okay? Same though goes for book study. In the book, you're getting an overview of the whole book. Right now, we are studying the chapter, so we're getting the big picture of that chapter or that section. We'll put them together. Any questions? You don't need to look down. I'm not going to call on you. I'll set everybody's eyes closed. This is just to give you an idea. And we've done this in different ways when I've had the verses, the text up there before. I've shown you how you find out what you're looking for and who, what, where, when, why, and how. But she's kind of giving it to you here. I actually prefer it the other way because you're going to be in the text and you're going to You're going to say, well, how am I supposed to find the who, what, where, when, why, and how? How do you find who's? What are who's?
People.
They're people. So if I go through the chapter and I look for people that are stated, do all people have names?
No.
Is the Holy Spirit and God and Christ in that list?
Yes.
In fact, in chapter studies, we don't do it in the whole overview, but in chapter studies, whoever is there is always a keyword. Always. Whenever God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are there, they're always keywords. Okay? So if I were trying to understand the doctrine, which is the study of the Holy Spirit, how would I do that? Besides reading somebody else's book who did all the work and then tells you what you're supposed to believe.
Couldn't you take every reference of the Spirit and write what you learned about that?
Just your list. And you start that by whatever book you're in. You don't try and do the whole Bible before you can decide who the Holy Spirit is. Just take, you're in 1 Corinthians, so 12 through 14. Just write down what you learn in verses 12 through 14. I would buy a spiral notebook, and I call those my doctrinal books. I'm learning the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I'm learning the doctrine of Jesus. I'm learning the doctrine of God. And what does doctrine mean?
Teaching.
Just all it means is teaching. What does the Bible teach about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit? And the way you see that is your list. You mark the words, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and other words you come up with, and then you start a list. This is how you learn who God really is, not who somebody tells you who he is. One of the hardest things, I think, in the church, especially in America, because we have so many books on the Bible and other things, we tend to rely on that. Why do I teach this class? Because it takes work.
The other is called borrowed faith.
And basically, it isn't faith.
No. It's just listening.
It's
to
someone else's. In fact, you could, and many of you have. You watched children grow up in your family who thought they were Christians, and they got to their adulthood and found out they weren't. My mother-in-law, to make a very long story very quick, had been raised in the Southern Baptist movement. Her daddy was a believer. He's a wonderful. I called him a wonderful old goat to his face because he was. He was an old farmer and he was gruff. But he loved the Lord passionately in his way. So his daughter assumed she was a believer. And when she got to adulthood, she taught Sunday school because that's what she's supposed to do, right? She hits her mid-60s. And we had to hold her accountable to some of the things in her life. Simple. I'm not talking about being disrespectful or loud or anything else. If you even read the letter, you wouldn't believe we really said much. But we did. And we simply said to her, because she was a liar all over the place, and liars are not believers. Not that you haven't ever lied, but a way of life. A liar is not a believer. And she was lying to the boys in a letter she had sent, and then she tripped herself up in the same letter. It was sort of like, you think our kids are stupid? You know, they're getting old enough now, they can figure out you're lying to them. And so we said that. Gently in a letter, and she was so mad at us. Oh my gosh. And she considered us her thorn in the flesh. But we had been dealing with her for 16 years, her lying, her controlling, her manipulation. This was the first time we really ever said anything because it was right there on paper. And we didn't hear from her for 4 months, and all of a sudden I got this 12-page letter personally to me. Wow. That apologized for 16 years of sin against us. The Lord had awakened her in the morning on the 4th of July and told her, what Ken and Kit say to you is what I'm saying to you, repent and be saved. And she was. But she didn't know she wasn't saved. She just thought she was a strong-willed, stubborn person. Well, she was, but she didn't have the Holy Spirit there with her. And so... You can be in the church, around the church, and think you're believing the same thing your parents are, but until that is you and God. Mm-hmm. And isn't it wonderful to know what you can know about God? And isn't it wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit is there to encourage and build and push you towards who God is? And he, and you're not by yourself anywhere. And Jesus proved the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit by giving up his life. Mm-hmm. In obedience, and he calls us to that same obedience. And if he calls us to that obedience, he's got to give us the power and the strength to do it, because none of us could.
Yeah.
And so as we learn more about him, and we write down, and we put our list down, and what else do you think you can use that list for?
You can pray with it.
You can pray. How could you do that, Kim?
We would be praising God for his attributes.
So you can be thankful, you can praise God, you can, when you're in trouble, know who to go to. This is what the lists are for, and I've done this in classes before, but I'm not going to do it with this one, where there's been so much information in a chapter, I just have had classes stop and pray through the class what God taught them in that class, and it's just been cool. So I would suggest when you're done with your lesson, before you come back to class, go through your list and praise God and find out what he's saying to you. Yeah.
Are you Pastor Ken's wife?
I am.
I only know a couple people here, so I'm just trying to figure out.
Who the heck are you?
Are you Pastor Ken's wife?
Okay.
I spoke to you on the phone.
Yes. And I saw you at one of the dinners that we had, but you were all dressed up. Oh, so. My, you know, that was unusual. Kim and I love to kid each other. I love to tease her. I saw her daughter in dresses for years before I ever saw her in one. We're just country folk who have to dress up sometime. Yeah.
You say then that we pray to God, what's my gifts in a prayer. And I think to myself, this is my gift. Sometimes you're hot and enter, right? That's my gift. I didn't know that. I've been praying for a very long time, you know, what's my gift? And finally I come to one day ask you that. So what you telling me, which
this
I
is get. Really a funny story.
I accepted that, so
she comes to me and I'm watching her in the part of the body, you know. She said, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what my gift are. I said, are you kidding me?
No,
you have so obviously have the gift of help. You go everywhere and help everybody.
Well, and while she's asking the questions, she's wiping table and moving stuff away and cleaning up and throwing your stuff away.
Yeah. Sometimes. Don't take my water before it's time. Sometimes other people can see it better than we can. And oftentimes, and I will say this again throughout the class, if you're at a crossroads and you just don't think you know what your gifts are, ask somebody what they mm-hmm. see in you. And we better be having our eyes open and paying attention to people, because that is sometimes how we find out, too. And there isn't necessarily just one gift, either. Sometimes there are multiple. When you think of Paul, I'm sure he pretty much had them all. So, you know, you don't... In fact, I have learned as I've studied missionary books that oftentimes the first believer in a country or area will have more gifts than you can believe, because the body's got to start. And so God will give them, you know, like everything. I remember... I think it was Nemi and Henri. Her father was the first Christian up in Tibet. And he came to the Lord, and by the time he died, he had gone to school. Now, this is a man who wasn't educated or anything. He'd gone to school to be a doctor, a politician, and a pastor. And he had just about every gift you can imagine that he had, because it was needed in that area. Mm-hmm. They needed Christian politicians. They needed Christian doctors. They need, you know, and I can't imagine how one man could do all that. But God gives extra strength. Do you think he gives extra strength to the prophets in the Old Testament? Oh, my gosh. Those people were all by themselves. And how many times did God say, nobody's going to believe you, but you're going to do this anyway?
Yeah.
You're not going to be in that for a event of being liked. So you've got to be able to stand up, say what needs to be said if people hate you. Not everybody can do that. But one who has that gift has to be able to do that, because the gift won't be used if they don't. So God gives us each what we need. If he wants somebody to be of service, he gives them physical endurance. Or somebody else could be in a wheelchair their whole life, and that isn't... And if that is, and if they have the gift of health with that, they're going to have to figure out a way to use that. But anyway, okay, so where are we? So as you look and you think, this is, I wrote their questions. No, I didn't. I just wrote this stuff up there. Verse in two, on day two, it started out and says, let's show you how to do this by giving you some basic 5 W's and 8's questions. These are not going to be in every chapter, and you may not have your 5 W's and 8's in every single section. You may have all what? When you have a question mark, what is that? That's going to be a what question or a why question. But who are the who questions? People. What would answer where questions? Locations. So we'll mark locations if we have them. We don't have them in this chapter, so we're not going to learn that this time. When. What are when questions? Time. Is time just 6 o'clock in the morning?
No.
Time has a lot of different things. It could be the last days. That's a time question. It could be the judgment. That's a time question. It could be they did this, then they did this, then they did this, and you see this list of thens as you look on the left side of your paper. Those are all time, and those are called sequence. So these are some of the questions. Let's see if you can answer. What is the topic of this chapter?
Spiritual gifts.
In fact, you could even add something to that. Spiritual gifts where?
For the body.
In the body. In the body of Christ. What is Paul's desire regarding this topic?
Does not want them to be unaware.
Doesn't want them to be unaware. Good. Who gives the gifts? You should all be able to answer that one.
Holy Spirit.
Who receives the gifts?
All of us.
All of us in the body of Christ. Right. Why are the gifts given? Do we have a word like edify? Well, something you'll have to find. If you find it here, just let us know. When are the gifts given and or received?
I don't think we know yet.
No, I don't think we do either. I think that comes in Ephesians. How are the gifts given?
Yes, that is by one Spirit.
By one Spirit. So it's the Spirit that gives the gifts. And then what gifts are mentioned in this chapter? And it's going to have you list them. So let's just say some of them while we're standing here so those who have never done this before can see what we're doing. Where did you see gifts? There's several places that they are.
9.
What does it say in 9?
To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing.
So what two gifts are there?
Faith
and healing. How about verse 8?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. The word of wisdom and?
The word of knowledge.
Word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. How about verse 10?
Affecting the miracles.
Miracles.
Prophecy. Distinguishing the spirits.
Whatever that means. Obviously, we need to look these things up.
Tongues and interpretation.
Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Okay. How about... How about verse 28?
Apostles, prophets, teachers. Miracles, healing, health.
Administration and various kinds of tongues. And then it gives a question. Are all are not apostles, prophets, so on and so forth. So if they're telling us that not all are apostles and prophets, what is it telling us?
There are some
that are, which means we have been given specific gifts. Okay? Yes, we know you're going on a date.
Yes.
Well, you also know we have the tape, so you're welcome to finish the class. Where is it about, do you know? Oh, we have about a little over 20 minutes left. Okay. So, all right. Then that was this. We got down to 9. I don't even have that here. What page were we reading? Okay, look, just so you can see, on page 5, you're going to start to do word studies on these. And you have, I gave it to you, you have a list of all the word studies. So let's look at them for a minute. Do I have my list? Yeah. You have this page that I handed out to you, and everybody should have one. This is not what came in the mail. I'm going to read this, let me do this first. And I've given you this example before, but let's say that our word was plate. There are two ways of approaching it. I could say to you, what does plate mean? And then you'll all give me what you think of as plate. Let me turn it around the other way. If I were to say to you, you were at my house for dinner, and I said, will you get the blue plate? What am I talking about?
Dinner plate.
Serving dish.
Okay. And if I say to you, my son is pitching today, and we're all going to a baseball game, and we're going to watch him, and he's going to throw a ball over the plate. What am I talking about?
Home plate.
Talking about home plate, and he's the pitcher guy. Is it the same word? Yes. Does it have the same meaning?
No.
Then I say to you, I mean, we're all sitting there, and all of a sudden, everything's going like this. And I say to you, oh my gosh, the plates are moving. What am I talking about?
Earthquake.
I'm talking about an earthquake, because the tectonic plates are moving. Greek is no different. You can't just look up a nice English word in the dictionary on any level and come up with what it means, because even though the word is plate, you have to take it back to its context. Context is king, and I wrote that over here. Context is king over interpretation. What that means is what we're going to do when we look at, what did you give? Let me do. Yeah, we can do this. I want to look at the thing I just sent you, which is out of my Dr. Zodiatus book. I want us to look at it and see if all, this one pretty much is, all the, where it's talking about gifts is all pretty much exactly the same. But this is, if you look at the Greek part, it says number first, 5486, right? And then it says something in Greek. And then it says G-E-N, and then it says Christmas, which is a neutral noun from, we don't care about that. What we're looking for is that part at the very end of that one first sentence, which says what?
To show favor.
To show favor. So what grace is, gifts are, is to show favor. And then it says a gift of grace and undeserved benefit. So can you earn it?
No.
And you can answer these questions yourself as you think about it. Now, as you look at this page, you see cross-references, or references. Do you see our reference there?
Where are you at?
Where it says gifts. And our gifts that we're using comes out of 1 Corinthians 12:4. And the first cross-reference verse we see is 2 Corinthians 1:11. That's not it. the gift of self-control, 1 Corinthians 7:7, that's not it. Romans 1:12, that's not it. 1 Corinthians 1:7, that's not it, but I did read that to you. Romans 5:15, it may be about gifts, but that's not it. And I look all the way down to the second paragraph. The relationship between the grace of God in Christ Jesus and the gifts which it bestows is indicated in 1 Corinthians 1:4-7. In 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which was given you by Jesus Christ. What is translated, which is given you, is the feminine aorist passive participle, blah, 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 blah. We don't care about all that. One day I'll start teaching you about that, but at this point it makes no difference to us. What we wanted to see there is the relationship between the grace of God in Christ Jesus and the gifts which is bestowed. Bestows is indicated. So it means to show favor. Who is showing favor?
God.
That verse says the relationship between the grace of God in Christ Jesus and the gift which it bestows is indicated in 1 Corinthians. So it's showing favor by God, but who is God showing favor to? Just by our verses that we've been studying.
Jews and Greeks.
Pardon?
Jews and Greeks.
He's doing that too.
Listening, so I'm sorry.
The whole body.
The body.
Because the gift is not for me. So if I have a gift, it doesn't belong to me, and it's not to be used for me.
It's to edify the body of Christ.
It's to be edifying the body of Christ. It's to be building up the body of Christ. And so the grace is to who? Both of us, me and the body of Christ, just as your gifts are a grace gift to you and the body of Christ. As you use your gifts, as you grow in your gifts, as you understand your gifts.
We're actually gleaning the benefit of one of yours.
Yes.
As we sit.
Yes, but you don't even know what it is. You just think you do. It took me years and it took me studying this to finally figure out what it was. I know what a teacher is, and people always think my gift is teaching. Mm-mm. It is not. Although I study like a teacher studies, Lord willing, and I hope I'm as accurate. Okay, so as we look at what we've got, then you're going to go through with the list. You've got the paper you have for all the words that you're supposed to look up. And I just take a pencil or pen or whatever and underline the part, particularly, I'll go through a couple more just to see it, but to show favor. Because every time you see charisma, you would see it to show, means to show favor. Gifts are to show favor. And then look at the second one, the spirituals. Remember we talked about spiritual gifts and gifts we put in there, right? What does spiritual mean? Pretty much spiritual. That's what it means. It comes from the word pneumatikos. The name for the Holy Spirit is what? We all often say it.
Or wind.
The wind. Pneuma is wind or air. Do you see anywhere our verse might be in the definitions all the way down? We're looking for 1 Corinthians 12:1.
In section B.
Section B, and what does it say, Kim?
Of things spiritual communicated or imparted by the Holy Spirit, meaning those things pertaining to the Spirit.
Okay, so when it talks about spirituals, and we're looking at its gifts because of the rest of the chapter, it's simply of things spiritual communicated or imparted by the Holy Spirit. So where again does it come from? No question. Comes from the Holy Spirit. Our gifts are spiritual gifts, which means I can't touch them. I can't touch yours. I have to use my eyes. I have to watch what God is doing. I have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to one another, to encourage one another in the gifts God has given us. But I can't touch it. Can you touch the wind?
No.
It can blow you over. But I can't touch it and put it in a bottle and keep it. Right? any other place. Well, we're going to have it in other verses. So look at varieties. What is varieties? Tell me what it means. It's only used one place in the whole Bible. Chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. What does it say?
To divide.
What else?
Division.
What else? Keep
distribution.
Reading.
Distribution.
Distribution.
Classification.
Or separation. So when we talk about the gifts, even though they're in the body, we're talking about them separately. But what do we know? They all work together. So the variety means the distribution, classification, or separation. How many times is the word variety used in our verses? And what does it say? Look at those verses. What does it say about varieties?
There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons.
Okay, now I'm going to show you what you do. Let's take the varieties. We've seen it division. We've seen it distribution. We've seen it as classification or separation. Let's take that back to the text, because this is what you do with your words. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Let's put the word in there. Now there are varieties of divisions, distribution, classification, or separations of the gift, but the same Spirit. There are varieties, or there are divisions, distributions, classifications, or separations of ministries. So is there only one ministry for that one gift? If somebody has a gift of teaching, they teach everybody?
No.
Not necessarily. In fact, somebody who just absolutely loves children can be overwhelmed by the idea of teaching for adults, and vice versa. Every year when out comes the list for doing Vacation Bible School, I did Vacation Bible School for years, and the entire time was in fear and trepidation, almost nauseated, because that is not the variety of ministry that the Lord has called me to, but sometimes that's all there was. So I have to pay attention to, and so do you. Am I doing what God has called me to in the place I belong? Because God has a place you belong. Not only has He given you a gift, but He's given you what?
A ministry.
A ministry. And if you don't think you have one, who do you ask about that?
God.
You ask Him about it. And you start praying about it and seeking that out. Okay, so the next one is there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So there are divisions, distribution, classification, or separation of effects. What does that mean?
Looks differently.
Well, and what is the word just effects?
The outcome looks different.
The outcome. Okay, so if you took a local person with a gift of evangelism, and you took Billy Graham, and they're both being obedient and loving the Lord, and one may see three people come to the Lord in their whole life, and Billy Graham sees thousands and thousands and thousands, is he more spiritual?
No.
Why? How do you know that?
God gave us all a Sam.
Yep.
Because God gave... It's God who gives the effects, it's God who gives the ministry, and it's God who gives the gifts. And we thank Him for that, and we pray. I think of missionaries who have gone out in the mission field and spent their entire life doing what the Lord called them to, and not one single person came to the Lord. Until they died, and the next generation came, and God just...
Yep.
And sometimes the whole islands came to the Lord then. Was that because the first people weren't effective?
No.
See, they're part of a body.
Yeah. Yeah.
They planted the seed, exactly.
Yeah.
So we're not here to judge people. I think I've told you this story before. To me, it's always so funny. My sister had asked me years ago about what was I doing in this church thing, you know? And so I just sat her down and talked with her until I knew she wasn't she didn't want to listen anymore. And the next day she went and visited a friend of hers in jail. And this guy was asking questions, just like he was overwhelmed with where he was and what he'd done with his life and stuff. And she says to him, I know what you want. I know what you need. My sister told me about it yesterday. I'll tell you what she said. He came to the Lord. And she still hasn't. So who did that?
God.
It wasn't her. It was God. In fact, 1 Thessalonians tells us it is the gospel itself that has power.
Yes.
So it isn't you. Well, you have power if you have God's Spirit, but it isn't you. The gospel itself has power.
Yes.
So we from that, we want to know what the gospel was so that at least we're giving it out right.
So it's we were sinner. God's grace would come saving us.
Yes.
So we don't do anything. The God grace would come saving my life. Right.
The only thing we do is say yes.
Yeah.
Because then I know that I've paid attention.
Mm.
When I came to the Lord, I do not follow a normal testimony at all. And I've had people tell me I couldn't have been saved, and I cannot tell them. I mean, I try. But, you know, if they've got in their head, this is all the things you have to say, and this is all the things you have to believe, and you have to say the sinner's prayer. I didn't do any of that. I just went into a church desperately seeking if there was a God. This is the last chance I was giving him to find me because I didn't know what else to do. And I was overwhelmed with his love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I could tell you. I was absolutely overwhelmed with the love of God. And I've gone back and listened to the pastor that preached, and he was a simple, sweet little man. I mean, it wasn't anything he said. It was that God came and overwhelmed me, and I never gave up, and I started seeking everything I could learn about God. But I couldn't have told you Jesus was my Savior. I wouldn't have known what that meant. I couldn't have told you all the lists of things that people tell you have to know to get saved. No, I needed God, and He saved me. And so do the rest of us. And you know yourself. Sometimes knowledge gets in the way of people getting saved. I'm not saying that it always does. I'm just saying sometimes it does. So our job is to know the very best we can and pass it on, and it's up to Him to do whatever He wants to with that. Any questions on doing word studies? Besides 10,000. Do I think that you know what you're doing? No. But what you do know is how to find what the meaning is here. Simple. Later on, at some point, I will teach you what the verbs do. But that's going to take it where I want you to be comfortable with this first. And then I'll have a class just on word, how to do word studies. How are we doing? Okay. We've got 5 minutes. I'm making you stay here. All right. Our next.
You know, I was looking forward to having that.
A change?
Something easy?
But no, not so much.
No, not so much.
Not so much for you.
The verse, the New Testament.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought we were going through all the New Testament, and I'm telling you what, it's going to take us.
No, we're not going to go through all the New Testament. Really, my goal, I have taught, I mean, not to you guys because you haven't been here, but I've taught an awful, who's been in here? Grace, how much of the New Testament have I taught? Pretty much, pretty darn close to an awful lot of it.
Yeah.
From the Gospels. Corinthians, Romans, I've taught Romans four times, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, First Peter, Second Peter,
Titus.
So I taught a lot of the New Testament. So I really wanted to go do the Old Testament. So, but I will, I think, I'm thinking that each year I'll do one New Testament book so that we get used to both.
Are you talking about another class besides this? Or?
No.
Oh.
Then I wouldn't sleep. I spend a lot of hours studying.
I'm sure you do for this.
Well, life, too. I mean, we still, all of us have our lives we have to keep up on. And I even use summer for catchy housework in my garden. Okay. Now, you have two other papers you haven't even looked at yet. One is called Revisection. It's Greek, all Greek to me. That is actually tells you a little bit about how to do what we just did. So you've got that.
Well, that one I understand.
It's Greek. And it's all Greek to you. Yes. There was another one. Oh, the word studies, the topical studies, and it's all Greek to me. I think that's all I gave you. And the word, well, no, that's it. Anything else you can see that I gave you that I don't normally give out this much stuff. This is when we ever have, I guess I'll just stop with this. Whenever we have a first class, I try and pick something out of that class that you can learn from. And this time it was topical studies and word studies. And again, what is a topical study that's different than a book study? Just to review.
Does the word topic give you a clue that maybe
it's
studying a topic?
It does. And what is our topic? So you want to look at the thing that says topical study because it'll give you an idea of what we're doing, but you're not going to use that to study in the class because it would be, if you were doing a topical study all by yourself, how to do that and how to start from scratch. But it'll show you what was done to prepare the information for this class. And then the word studies, again, we'll go over that some more. And that's pretty much it. So let's pray and go home with your head spinning. And you think your head's spinning, you can imagine what mine's doing.
When's the next time we're meeting?
Not next week.
Not.
Got it? If I hear one of you telling me, what are you, I'm going to pop you in the nose.
Not
next week.
Following week, right?
Not even be in the state.
Not.
So you have,
it will be April 5th.
April 5th. And I have sent that home on your emails for those of you who've been part of the last class.
For some reason, I'm not getting your emails.
I think it's in your, because you've given me, and I've gone over it several times with email I have. I don't know why you're not getting emails.
And you have trouble getting emails.
Oh, I haven't checked.
Grace, send a note that says hi to both of us, and we'll look at what email you sent it on and see if we have that. And if we do, it's your server that's having a problem.
You do. But it could be sending it to spam. I didn't check that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once in a while they'll do
that. Yeah, because I resend something to you, and the second time you said you got it. So,
So it's when it's a list, you don't get any problems.
They've always been pretty tight on their security.
I've always gotten everything from you before.
I don't know. I didn't change anything. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you take the information that we've learned, whether it's new or old, and implant it in our hearts and minds, that we are able to use it to get to know you better. And as we get to know you better, to change our minds on the things we think we know, and change our minds and repent of the things that are in our lives. Have mercy on us, Lord, in the name of your Son.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
They're low. They're low.
Some New Testament books in Korean.